Bill Adams, I'm EPA Project Manager.
Terry Harwood, the Executive Director of the Coeur d'Alene Basin Commission.
So give me the historical, I mean, the 30,000 foot level, where we started with this 35 years ago. How long has it been?
1983,
almost 35 years. How has the view of what EPA and the other partners are doing changed over the years to where you are now in 27?
Yeah, I think it certainly has changed significantly over a period of time. I think when we first came into the site, when it first was identified, it was an emergency situation. We came in, we did a lot of work in a short period of time, and I think, there was probably a lot of concerns raised by the local communities here in the federal government coming in to take care of a problem, and that has really changed over time. People have not only recognized but appreciated the work that's being done. There's been more care being taken, to have children tested for blood leads. There's more pride in the community. They can see that the work is, made a huge improvement in the community. The hillsides were bare at that point in time, and they've all been revegetated, and roads have been paved, and we've remediated over 7,000 properties. And I think, as you heard earlier from Andy Helke, we've seen the result of that, from blood leads that were up to 60 micrograms per deciliter down to an average of 1.5. So significant improvements in not only the appearance of the community, but the health of the children out there and the community members. So not everybody loves us, at this point in time, but we've seen a huge improvement in the cooperation and the pride that people have and the recognition of the value of the work, not only in the health effects, but also the jobs and the funding that is occurring. So
I'm curious about your thoughts, Terry, about the attitudes of the people up there over the years and how they've changed.
Well, of course, from my background, I was working on Superfund in Washington, D.C., over the whole country, and then to come back home to Idaho and get involved in this, I volunteered for the Citizens Group because I wanted to stay involved. And then, of course, they asked me to be the executive director of the seven governments that are involved. And I think that it's been a process, I think the first thing we had to show the folks was that we did care about whether or not they had a job, and we did care about whether or not their community was falling apart and all those kind of things. We weren't just in here to regulate against them or something like that, or in some way to hurt their community. And I think once they came around to that, and I've talked to some of the local leaders too, and they said, we finally came to the point where we said, okay, this is going to happen whether we like it or not, so let's figure out a way to make it work the best we can and cooperate with these guys. And so we've developed a lot of close relationships with the local mayors and especially Shoshone County officials and all of that. I'm proud of the fact that the community stepped forward and in all of these things. These guys passed their own bond issues to work together with us on the streets and the sewer and the water and all of that. And these old systems up there, they've been in place since the start of the mining processes. Some of the old water lines are, you think about Flint, Michigan. Well, where are the lead water lines in the Silver Valley? See, and they're gone now. So I mean, there's a lot of things that have gone on, and we're continuing to work on that and continuing to work with the local folks on all of these other issues. As you heard earlier, we'll be finishing the roads programs and the stormwater runoff programs, and we'll be back up in the hills doing the cleanup up there for the environmental issues and move out of the communities finally. It's really important that we've all been able to work together. And I think honestly, I think the Basin Commission has had a lot to do with that. The fact that we work together in a coordinated effort, we come up with a work plan every year that the Basin Commissioners approve of. We have a 5-year work plan. EPA has a 10-year plan. And so we're actually planning what we're doing. And I think the most important thing is at the end of every year, we have a report card. It's our accomplishment report, and we tell everybody, okay, we said we were going to do this year. How well did we do it? And we publish our report card, and I send it to Congress, and it goes to the congressional delegation, and it's available for everybody. And it's accountable government is what it is, and I think it's important that we do that.
Can we look back 30 years at what the priorities were then, what's been accomplished, and how those priorities have changed to where they are now?
Yeah, I think, like I said, initially it was really an emergency situation, and we were focused on the box initially, and that was the area that was impacted by the smelter operations, and that's where the human health risks were the highest. And so we came into those areas, and we did remediation of the properties in the box, a 21-square-mile area around Kellogg, demolition of the industrial complex and cleaning up all of that area, which then ultimately allowed for the development of a golf course and ski area and those kind of benefits to the community. So we focused initially in that area, and then over time we expanded the cleanup and recognition that the problem was much bigger than we ever thought when we first started our work in the, at the site. And so we expanded the site to include all the areas that were impacted by historical mining operations, all the way up from Canyon Creek and 9 Mile, all the way down through the box, down into the lower basin, through Lake Coeur d'Alene to the Spokane River. So very large area. So now we're focused on, we're still focused on completing that work in those community areas, because again, that is where the risks are the highest. And again, by remediating all these properties and the fact that there's a, you know, nationally recognized institutional control program that protects those remedies, you know, that ensures a long-term protectiveness. And then as Terry just mentioned, you know, after we complete those areas, we'll be focusing more on the side canyons and the lower basin, addressing those other issues as well, which affect water quality, some extent of human health risks too from recreational exposure, but a lot of the water quality issues are things that we have to ultimately address as well.
So remind me again, what is still, you make reference to, we'll finish the work in the communities and we'll get out.
Yeah.
What's still to be done in those communities?
Yeah, so there's still a few properties that need to be remediated. We've completed most of the communities, but there's still some properties here and there, and probably each of the communities that has to be completed. And then that we have the remedy protection projects, which are really more of infrastructure to protect existing remedies. What we've seen in the past is there would be, because of poor infrastructure, there would be flooding, and some of the properties we'd already remediated would be, you know, washed away. And so we've installed those projects to protect the remedy. And then we also have the paved road program, which is, again, because the communities did not have money to pay for existing roads and replacement and repairs, all of these roads were built over mining waste, as were all the communities. And so what we saw is potholes would develop, and the contamination would then be up in on the streets within communities we've already remediated. And so we're replacing, you know, repairing those roads, and set aside $54 million to address that. So the roads serve as a barrier to contamination. And again, those will need to be maintained in perpetuity to protect that barrier, essentially.
Is there a sort of a psychological thing of being able to say, we're done with the work within the communities, and now we're outside, we're still around you, but we're not in your community?
Well, that's one of the things I've been trying to do. And when I first got back into North Idaho after I retired from back east and came back out here, was that, oh, we want this over with, you know, let's get it over with. Let's figure out a way to delist the lake, or delist this or delist that. So I've made it an effort to whenever we get something done, for instance, to be sure the public knows that we're done. And I think we've finished the property cleanup in the box now, so they know that. We finished all the gravel roads in the basin and the box, and all the remediation of those. And I've reported that as being done. And of course, when we get the paved road program done, we'll report that. And when we get this remedy protection work, the flood, you know, stormwater runoff and flood control work, we'll report that, because people want to see something gets done. That's why it's important for folks to know that we have that accomplishment report every year, where we report on, did we get an A on this project this year, or did we get a C, so, you know, as far as getting something done. And so for me, having government show its accomplishments to the public is really important, and that's what we've been doing. And of course, they want us to get done as quick as possible. And some of these things take a long, long time. But I mean, I think that's important to show progress to the community and to the public.
So I know that these aren't particularly your areas, but we were hearing about, you know, 8,000-foot walls and, mm-hmm, and right. other things. Tell me a little bit more about that sort of work that's maybe that people are going to see as they drive along mm-hmm. I-90.
Right, right. Well, the purpose of the project, again, was to address a large loading of zinc that we saw in that area. And so what happens is the river channel, I mean, it continues to go in the old historic channel, so that what that means is it comes out underneath the CIA, resurfaces at the South Fork there.
And CIA
is a central impoundment area. So that is an area that contained a lot of the waste from the cleanups that occurred in the Bakhti. It was built on an existing tailings impoundment from the mining operations. And so this particular project will address a very large amount of zinc loading that occurs in that specific location. And that'll be achieved by the construction of a 7,000-foot what's called a slurry wall. It's a clay cement wall, essentially, that will capture that contaminated groundwater, and which will then be pumped out and taken to the central treatment plant, which currently treats the water from the Bunker Hill mine, and will continue to do so. So by upgrading the plant, we're not only bringing it to current standards, but we'll then have the capacity for treating this groundwater as well. And so it'll serve two purposes. What people will see will be installation of a large amount of wells that will be occurring along that stretch of I-90. And then when they're actually constructing the well in 2019, they'll see a large number of vehicles, what are called track hoes, and basically digging this trench, which then is filled in with the bentonite and cement. So they'll see that kind of activity. They'll see that the billboards along that section will be taken down prior to that work, at least some of them. So those are the kind of things that they'll see, you know, as people are driving along I-90.
So I think about the rebuilding the central treatment plant. It's like it's a second generation of this cleanup.
Right.
That boggles the mind.
Yeah. And, of course, we've been operating that plant for some time, again, treating the water from the Bunker Hill mine. But that was one of the advantages of, you know, we saw this, you know, issue with the groundwater that, okay, well, we've already got a treatment plant here, and can't we upgrade that to accomplish two objectives, you know, treating this water as well as continued treatment of the Bunker Hill mine water as well.
So, Terry, I want to touch again on the infrastructure within the towns and cities themselves, in that they're completely different in that way. They're completely different places, are they not now?
Well, yeah, you've got, I mean, they're doing some of it by hook and by crook. Some of it they're doing it with their own city employees, trying to stay ahead of us with our remedy protection and paved road programs. And yeah, you're going to have communities that had sewer and water systems that in some cases were 100 years old, and they're all being replaced with modern, you know, piping that'll last a long time. A lot of this piping is, you know, petroleum-based plastic-type material instead of the old steel. And even some of the water lines up there were asbestos cement. You know, and asbestos is not the best thing in the world. But, I mean, but it's all buried. You don't see it, see? And you'll see the new paved street and the curb or something, but they're replacing the stuff that's buried in the ground, which is really important. And of course, I've always been the type of person I don't like to fix something and then have to tear it up 2 years later. And thank goodness these guys have stepped forward, because we won't be digging up their new streets to replace the sewer when it breaks because it's 100 years old. So I think that's really been a neat thing to see the community step forward and do that. And, you know, talking about the project that Bill was talking about, the central treatment plant, that we've got three, you know, major sources of the contamination up there, Nine Mile Creek, Canyon Creek, and, of course, the groundwater coming out from under the old central impoundment area. And we're working on all of them, the trusts up in Nine Mile, trying to knock all that stuff down, haul all that mine waste up and bury it. They'll start working in Canyon Creek. So there's a real effort to knock those three big sources down for the problems that are in the Coeur d'Alene River system. So all three of those are really important. That's the dissolved metals. That's the stuff that you don't really see that gets into Coeur d'Alene Lake.
Okay, then what are the lower basin priorities? We're talking about up there where a lot of the contamination started. So what's left still to do down lower in the watershed?
Yeah, and actually there is a lot left to do. You know, I think the challenge in the lower basin is just the geographic size. You know, we have like 18,000 acres that are above the lethal level for waterfowl from lead. Lead will be the issue down in the lower basin primarily. And so first of all, you know, what we've been spending a lot of time is just trying to figure out, okay, where are the contaminants moving? How are they moving? And so that we can know where can we take actions and know that there is either as limited amount of recontamination or no recontamination, so we can safely do those projects. So identifying specific areas and then identifying what can you do. You know, can you remove the contaminant from the channel, or how do you deal with the wetlands where all this material is already dispersed? So we're looking at different techniques of being able to address those. We've already done one project, large project, the Schlepp Ag to Wetland project, where we've converted an agricultural area to a wetland. There was contamination in there, and so we dealt with that. But then it results in what essentially is a clean feeding area for waterfowl. And so that's another approach we're looking at. Can we identify and we improve areas where the waterfowl, you know, if they're in those areas, they won't have that kind of exposure. The other issue that we're trying to address, and again, this is a very large issue, is the recreational use. You know, we see an increased use of the whole lower basin, people coming down, camping on the rivers, picnicking, whatever. And it doesn't take but just a short exposure to some of the contaminated soils along the banks and in those areas where we see increases in blood lead from children that have been down in that area. Through the blood lead testing that Panhandle does, they always follow up, you know, when they see an elevated blood lead. And in many cases, they find that, you know, where have you been? Well, I've been down in the lower basin in recreation. Right now what we're trying to do is address those kind of issues with, you know, recreation, a lot of recreational outreach, signage, things like that to get people informed. You can safely recreate in there, but it's just following some common practices in terms of, you know, washing off, you know, any soil, keeping the children from playing in the dirt and things like that. And so that's what we're focusing on right now, better understanding the lower basin and how we can best address the issues down there, and then addressing the recreational use and issues in the interim. Over time, as we complete these actions in the upper basin, we'll be moving more and more work down into the lower basin to some of these large-scale projects.
How many years do you think that's going to be? How much work is left before it's all done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the interim ROD amendment we did, which was adding additional actions in the upper basin, was for an additional 30 years. We're probably 10 years into that. But it remains to be seen how much longer in the lower basin that's going to take. I mean, it's probably many decades to be able to start to make a dent in some of the issues that are down in the lower basin.
So it's almost like you spent as much time cleaning it up as it took to make the mess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was decades in the making, and it's going to take decades to address the issue.
So, Terry, is there a particular project that's left as you near your own retirement that really excites you, that you think is just really an interesting project?
Well, I think about how long am I going to hang around. You know, I'm way past retirement age, but I'd like to see the infrastructure work we've already discussed done. I'd like to see the treatment plant working, treat the water out of the bunker mine and the groundwater. I'd like to see how much of an improvement we have because we've reduced that. I'm pretty comfortable with all the work that's planned in Nine Mile and Canyon Creek because I've done that kind of work on mine sites for 30, 40 years. I'm curious to see what kind of ideas we're going to come up with on how to deal with those 19,000 acres of contaminated wetlands that Bill's talking about, because I've been kind of rolling them around in my mind too as to what we can do with that. And I would frankly like to see the banks of both the St. Joe and the Coeur d'Alene River, where they're sloughing in and all that, whether they've got mine waste in them or they're just adding nutrient loadings to Coeur d'Alene, I'd like to see those things stabilized, because behind all of this, we still have the problem with nutrient loadings to Coeur d'Alene Lake and the potential for the release of the metals from all that 70 million tons of mine waste on the bottom of the lake, and that's, we've got to figure out a way to reduce the nutrient holdings in the Coeur d'Alene and the St. Joe River, and of course the St. Joe's not even part of the Superfund site. So, but our friends in the community and in the USDA are working on some of that stream bank stabilization work as well. So, but that, I mean, I've got all kinds of crazy ideas of what to do with the wetlands down there. Some of my friends, they won't listen to me when I bring them up. But anyway, but that's gonna, that is a real challenge, because you've already got all that material down there growing, you know, wetland vegetation and stuff, and do you really want to destroy all that to clean it up, you know, and start from scratch, or is there some way we can figure out to save the vegetation that's there now and cover up that contaminated stuff so the waterfowl doesn't get into it? And they've got a pilot project working right now, EPA does, that I think has some potential for that.